You're listening to Vatican Radio.
At a time in history in which an unprecedented 65.5 million people around the world have been forced from home, we are witnessing the highest levels of displacement on record. Among them are nearly 22.5 million refugees, over half of which are under the age of 18. World Refugee Day, held each year on June the 20th, commemorates the strength, the courage and the perseverance of millions of men, women and children who are on the move in search of protection and opportunity. Pope Francis has done so again and again, both in words and in action, as he has appealed to governments and policymakers to heed the Christian message of welcome, as well as dedicating many personal moments of encounter and prayer to refugees and forced migrants in different situations. Marking the occasion is also the Jesuit Refugee Service, with its message to accompany, serve, and advocate on behalf of refugees and other forcibly displaced persons. In an effort to make its message even stronger and more effective, this year it has done so, joining forces with other faith-based organizations, and it has released an ecumenical statement entitled Refugees, an Opportunity to Grow Together. Jesuit Father Aloysius Mawe, International Director of Advocacy and Communications for JRS, told me that as Christians, it's not enough to profess to love Christ because, he says, faith is authentic only if it is expressed in loving action and solidarity. He describes the current populist trends we are seeing across the world and that lead to the closure of borders, the building of walls, and the tendency to turn away strangers as a product of fear and anxiety, and says that as Christians, we have a responsibility to spread a culture of solidarity and welcome.
Fear is a very natural phenomenon, of course. We fear things that can harm us. But I think what happens very often for us is that fear sort of veers off into anxiety. And anxiety is a bit free-floating. It's about fearing what we don't really know, fearing the inchoate. And my suspicion is that the issues of forced migration facing us in the world today, and it's not just in Europe, we focus a lot on Europe, but the reality is that in Asia-Pacific, obviously in places like Africa and the Middle East, even countries where the cultures of the countries of reception are fairly similar to the countries which are the source countries, we still hear people expressing anxiety about numbers, anxiety about culture being displaced, and so on. And the message that we want to put out, I really need to acknowledge the leadership of Pope Francis in this, is that the New Testament keeps saying to us over and over again, probably one of the most common phrases in the Gospels, do not be afraid. And as Christians, we need to take that seriously and reflect on that. That at the very beginning of the Christian story, when the angel appears to Mary, an angel appears to Joseph in Matthew's Gospel, the angels appear to the shepherds, and then further on, when the disciples are in a boat and it appears as though they're going down in a storm, the appearances of Jesus to his disciples after the resurrection, over and over again, we hear the phrase, fear not. And it seems to me at the heart of the gospel is proclaimed a God who tells us we should not be afraid. We should not let fear control our actions. We should not let fear control our relationships. And if we can take that to heart, then I think we can really begin to look at the people who come to our borders, the people who arrive on our shores, asking for solidarity, asking for assistance. And instead of letting fear take control of our actions and our reactions, we might actually look at the people and ask ourselves, how can I be a sister or a brother to them without being fearful of the demands made on me? And that's the crux of the issue, isn't it? It's about fearing that what we have is going to be taken away, as though what we have is an entitlement. I'm very much reminded of a TED talk that Pope Francis gave recently, where he started the talk by referring to his own family's experience as being migrants from Italy to Argentina. And at one stage he said, we could have become part of the forgotten of history, those who never succeeded. We didn't. But because we were people who were displaced, who had to migrate, there was always the chance we could have been. And here's the man who is now a world leader, who is the leader of the Catholic Church, and yet he acknowledges the reality that his family and his fortunes, by and large, depended on the generosity and the welcome given by others. And what if each one of us were to say to ourselves, could I be in that situation? What would I expect? What would I want for myself and my loved ones?
You've mentioned Pope Francis. He has become the voice of reference for this World Refugee Day. Jesuit Refugee Service has decided to join with other faith-based groups and release a joint ecumenical statement. Would you like to tell me about the statement?
The statement saying an opportunity to grow together, that's the title we've given it. And really, if I had to characterize the statement in one word, I would have to say that word's a word that, again, Pope Francis has used over and over again, and that word is solidarity. Again, going back to Pope Francis, as you said, he's become the acknowledged world leader on issues of migration, refugees, welcome. And I think it was on the 21st of February this year where Pope Francis spoke at a conference on migration and peace here in Rome. And he said that the way we talk about migration, we have to start using verbs of action. And he said the verbs that he wanted us to use were welcome, protect, promote, and integrate. But he pointed out, he said, these are verbs and they require a subject. So we have to say, we welcome, I protect, I promote, we integrate. And it's the first person, singular and plural, that we or I have to take hold of this. Now, why would we do this? Because why would we want to welcome, promote, integrate, protect? And Pope Francis says to us that we do this because, you know, back to that old cliche, but it's a cliche mainly because I think it's true. Back to the poetry of John Donne, where John Donne says, no man is an island, no person is an island. Pope Francis, I think, described it as you know, the reality that every one of us has an existence that is tied to the existence of someone else. You know, in Australia, I would often hear, when I was country director of JRS there, people talking about self-reliance and, you know, promoting an economic model where they say, I built this, I didn't depend on anyone, I built up my own fortune. And of course, that phrase we have in English of, you know, I'm a self-made person, I'm a self-made man. And I would often point out to students or to groups whenever I spoke to them, I'd say, that road outside on which your father's haulage business runs, the trucks, who built that road? Did your dad build that road? No, he didn't. That road was built from tax money, paid in by, you know, a small shopkeeper somewhere, a truck driver somewhere, a petrol gas attendant somewhere. That as much as your father might want to think he's a self-made man, the reality is that everything he does is dependent on something someone built before him. And all of us have experienced this sense of dependence, of interdependence, haven't we, in terms of the fact that someone gives you a recommendation for a job. You know, your CV lists referees, right? At the end of the day, the reality is that the gift of life has been given to us. We're born. We didn't self-generate, right? Every one of us is tied to someone else beside us or before us. And that's that fundamental solidarity of being human. And as a Christian, that sense of solidarity is made even stronger by the fact that Jesus says to us in that great passage in Matthew chapter 25, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And, you know, the people around him say in this parable, they say to him, but we didn't see you. And he says, insofar as you gave this to the least member of my family, my brothers and sisters, the words in the gospel, you did it to me. And there we have it, the heart of this notion of solidarity, which is because Jesus is present, God is present in every single human person, we have no choice. Because you cannot go to church on Sunday and say that you worship a man who was homeless and who died on the cross, and come out of church and ignore a man sitting on the street who is homeless, Jesus would say to us, we're the same man. And so for World Refugee Day, the message we want to emphasize over and over again is that there is a fundamental solidarity of being human here. We are all connected to one another, and therefore this idea of welcoming, of protecting, of promoting, and of integrating people, we are saying that if we call ourselves Christians, then this is not just an optional extra. It's at the very heart of who we are as Christians.
Refugee issues are in the papers every day of the year. Why is a day such as this significant?
It's significant because it is so easy for us to look at the headlines and it just becomes another newspaper headline. The reality of the displaced in the world, and we know the numbers. I mean, one of the things that happens each year during World Refugee Week is that the UN releases its latest statistics. So we have no idea what the statistics are at the moment for 2016, for last year. We probably can predict that the numbers will have risen from the previous year. But the fact is that the numbers are massive. It's almost incomprehensible to think that in 2015 there were 65 million displaced people, that there were 21 million refugees. And of those 21 million refugees, the UN tells us that more than half were children under the age of 18. Now, the numbers are so massive that I think for the ordinary punter, and even for myself, for whom this is my bread and butter, as it were, it's the work I do, it's the mission that's been given to me. But I look at those numbers and they can almost be too massive to take in. And then, you know, the newspapers are also filled with the news of, I don't know, what Kim Kardashian wore last night at the premiere, or a fire in London, or a plane crash somewhere. It just becomes another part of the news cycle. And for those of us who are in stable situations, that situation can seem to us to be, yeah, well, just another one of the very big messes in the world. World Refugee Day reminds us, and I think in particular I want to emphasize this year, that we have in the world today more than 10 million refugee children, refugees under the age of 18. A significant number of them are unaccompanied. And if you are a parent or a sibling, if you are a grandparent, and you look at the children around you and you try to think of them as being homeless, at risk, hungry, without access to education, then maybe you begin to go beyond the headlines. And I think World Refugee Day is saying to us, take a pause. Let's go beyond the headlines. And beyond the headlines, we have the reality of people, real people, at this very moment, in cities, in border situations, in camps where they have been for in very prolonged situations for many years. And these are people who are really, really no different from you or from me. I come from a migrant background myself. And again, as Pope Francis reminded us, he came from a migrant background. And if we try to put ourselves in the place of these people, World Refugee Day is saying to us, take a pause, take a moment, and realize the enormity of what's going on and the fact that the world can actually do something about this. This is not an intractable problem. This is really an opportunity for us to share what we have, for us to be more strategic in terms of how we welcome those who are displaced.
That was Jesuit Father Aloysius Mawe, International Director of Advocacy and Communications for JRS.